and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my very, very, very good friend, Damian Abraham, singer of Fucked Up and host of the Wrestlers docuseries on Viceland. Damian, it's great to have you on. And listen, apologies right off the top. You should have been on when we were doing season 1. But you are here now, season 6, episode 5. First question is, just like on Turned Out a Punk, your podcast, are you, this is my Turned Out a Punk question, are you a Three's Company fan?
Thank you for having me on. Like, this has been a dream of mine to be on this. I'm a part of the Black Coffee Brigade.
Yes.
But I feel like this is like, you know, you don't have just any riffraff.
No,
on this podcast, you know, it's cut above. So I'm glad I made it. But yeah, no, I am a fan. Certainly, as a fan of pop culture, I think you have to be a fan of Three's Company just to get so many of the references in growing up. You know,
yeah.
And I think also my relationship to it growing up was that it was on after Wonder Woman, I believe, on Fox 29 out of Buffalo, and so on Saturday nights, my parents would always go out. And I would be left with a babysitter, and I would order pizza and watch Wonder Woman. And then, you know, always catch the first, you know, 10 minutes, I guess, of Three's Company, trying to make sense of it. Because, you know, only watching it now, I realize how much of it is kind of like bawdy blue humor.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. A lot of it doesn't stand up to, you know, today's, you know, morals and you know, the environment of today, but it's still funny as hell for me.
Oh yeah, no, I think there's definitely a lot of stuff in it that holds up. Like, there's a lot of slapstick stuff, and we're 6 seasons in. Like, I'm not even seeing it. Like, what is the prime era of this show? Because I'm in the Shemp years at this point, right?
Right. So you ask different Three's Company fans will give you a different answer, but my answer is, we've only just begun. This is my favorite era of Three's Company.
Really? Is that because you got into it around this era?
No, because I'm a Furley fan more than a Roper's fan, so I love Mr. Furley. And my favorite roommate that they had out of the three was Terry Alden, played by Priscilla Barnes. And this is what we're going to discuss today, is her 5th episode on the show.
No, I guess it's like Shemp, too, because Shemp apparently was one of the original Three Stooges, and then he just came back for those later movies.
Right. Yeah, no, this is when it gets going. Jack and Janet and Furley together as a team. It was a solid team by now. And Larry had come into his own as a supporting character. And, yeah, I think the show was firing on all cylinders by this point. So, no, this is my favorite era, actually, seasons 6, 7, and 8.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that I wasn't brought in at the worst time possible. You know, it's like when they bring in a new character, like, you know, it's always questionable. But, you know, I guess that shows I'm not really an aficionado, that I'm only familiar with the more famous era.
Oh, Damian, trust me, I've been doing this podcast for 2 years in 3 days, and I still have 3 more years to go on it to cover every episode.
Yeah, so it's going to be one of the longest-running sitcoms.
8 seasons and then 2 spin-offs that lasted for a season each. So we're talking 10 seasons, and if you were to talk about an episode every week, that's pretty much 5 years.
Yeah.
So
wow, this is quite the project.
Yes. All right, here we go. Season 6, episode 5, Some of That Jazz. It aired November 3rd, 1981, directed by Dave Powers, written by Martin Ripps and Joseph Storetsky. Janet's dance instructor seems to have ulterior motives when he asks her to quit her job and become a professional dancer. Damian, what did you think of some of that jazz.
This to me, like, it's funny. There's like a, you know, a weird, not weird, but there's like a very serious tone on the side of what's happening in this episode. Like, obviously it's the usual kind of, I guess, from what I understand, slapstick that's with the show.
Yeah.
But there's also, it's got that, you know, like the, you know, like the episode of, Different Strokes with the pedophile or the wheels going to port, to a Port Hope episode of Degrassi where he also meets a pedophile. Like, you know, it's got like this dark kind of twist to it. Like the principal, dance instructor guy is just so evil. Like he just comes across like really creepy right off the bat. And, yeah, so I was really stoked to get a juicy episode of this one to dive in with you. Also, it's got some weird directing stuff in it too. Like that really extended dance sequence shot. Very bizarrely.
Yeah. First of all, kudos to you for mentioning the Different Strokes episode. That, to me, was a really dark. As a kid, it almost, I almost lost a little. I did. I think I lost a little innocence, especially the scene when Dudley, Arnold's friend, says what he says at the end of the episode of the two episodes. Yeah, you're right. It's got the same tone. Of course, not as dark as the Different Strokes episode. That's the one I remember. But it's got that.
Well, there's also the All in the Family one where, I think it's All in the Family, where his friend comes out to him as being gay.
I didn't see that one. And if I did, I think it went over my head as a kid.
I think it's I'm pretty sure it's All in the Family. There's like, and I guess All in the Family had a few episodes kind of like that too, where, you know, you'd be watching it and it would just have a real like different tone than the rest of the series would have, or, you know, like it would tackle something a lot more serious. Like there was an episode of Mr. Belvedere like that too. I remember there being a warning before it was on. And there's like, it was, you wouldn't see it now. Like, could you imagine like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or like Modern Family doing something like this?
No. TV is definitely off the rails compared to, you know, the innocent times of Different Strokes and Three's Company.
Well, it's almost like these times were way darker, too. Like, they're acknowledging stuff that I think TV would be afraid to tackle on a sitcom these days.
Yeah, this isn't as heavy as, you know, a pedophile on Different Strokes, but it does. But it does mess with, you know, this woman's dreams, and that's, you know, that's, well, always.
Also, like, what would happen?
Go on.
Well, I was just thinking, like, what would have happened if Jack hadn't come in there?
Right. Yeah.
You know, this guy wasn't taking no for an answer. She's like biting him to get away, and like, you know, it's played a little bit more lighthearted than I'm kind of implying, but like, there's like a real threat to her at that point, and Jack kind of comes in and interrupts it. It's like, oh, this could have gotten horrible. Like, this could have been like, you know, that All in the Family episode where Edith is assaulted.
Well, the thing about the show is it treats sexual harassment very lightheartedly, going through every episode. Mm-hmm. So I think the audience was to assume that maybe, you know, Janet will just turn him down and fend him off, push him off, and then they would part ways and she would have to quit. But there's been scenes on other episodes where, you know, Jack's teacher is chasing Janet around the kitchen table trying to like grope at her. So I think that if Jack hadn't come in, maybe it would have just ended like that. I don't know if it would have gone really dark.
Well, no, it's because by that point she had said no to him like 3 times. You know?
Yeah.
And he was grabbing her physically, you know? Like, and I know, like, you know, there's in the reality that is the TV show, it would have never gotten that dark. But there is, like, you know, and once again, this is probably terrible that it's this way, but there's definitely, it's portrayed differently what Jack does to his roommates, where there's almost a consensual level of harassment going on. Yes. What a weird, horrible thing to say. But versus when there's a character like this, or the character like Jack's teacher, where there's like a rape vibe to it.
Yeah, definitely. And getting back to Jack, you know, constantly hitting on his roommates. He not only gets turned down, but he gets his comeuppance physically. You know, they
they
beat him around, and in especially in this episode, he gets literally beat up by them at one point. So
there's some weird sexual fetish thing going on there too with him. You know, he's going to the women that wrestle section of Suspect Video and renting movies from there, I think.
Oh, absolutely. There's, it's the final scene where him and Janet dance. Everybody who's on the fence with him he wins them back by being such a good guy at the end.
It's also like when he came in and the teacher's trying to kiss the, like, you know, is trying to, like, you know, assault her at this point. He comes into that room and it's like he can't read what's going on at all. Like, I was trying to get what he's doing there. Is he just that much of a wimp that he doesn't want to confront this teacher? Or did he just really not see that she was totally not into this guy's advances?
I kind of think that he was just doing it sarcastically and that he was trying to get at the teacher because he already confronted him. And so... Mm-hmm,
true.
But at the same time, you're right. Was he trying to, like, show Janet, like, I told you so? It was weird, too. I noticed that as well.
Yeah, like, he was, like, almost like he interrupted it and he's kind of oblivious to what's going on. And then he's like... And then she, like, starts crying. And I'm like, I know you came here to say this to me and this to me and this to me. And he's like... No, I didn't. I promise you.
Yeah. That it's a weird. It was a weird scene. Yeah, I have nothing to say. You're right. We don't really know. But going on Jack's previous, you know, past behavior on episodes, I would have to say he's trying to stick it to him by being sarcastic and playing dumb.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's what I was kind of like. Wondering if that's what's going on, because it just felt his I don't know, as an anxious person myself, his anxiety just trips me out when I watch this show.
he is. I mean, that's probably why I and a lot of people really liked him as a character, because especially physically, he would exude all those anxieties, and it would come out physically in a hilarious way.
Yeah, like, Ritter's got one of, like, the all-time great, you know, expression faces. Like, he could have been a silent film actor and been up there with all the greats.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, I do this podcast about the show, so he's already up there on the Mount Rushmore for me.
Yeah, like, I guess my introduction to him was more from the Problem Children era, and this is a rerun show.
Right.
He didn't really have that kind of, like, I guess he would have at a time had that kind of leading man quality to him.
Yeah, he tried to break into movies, but nobody could get past Jack Tripper.
Mm-hmm. So. And before he passed away, though, he had How to Date My Teenage Daughter was kind of It was a hit, right? Like, he was back on hit TV.
Yeah. He died when he was on top again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of got a Bradley Cooper vibe.
Really?
Well, Bradley Cooper to me is always the goofy friend from the TV show Alias. You know, the Jennifer Garner show?
Yeah. See, I never watched that show. I know the show, but I never watched it. But
he was kind of like, you know, obviously way more innocent, way more current era TV, but that same sort of like goofy, lovable, you know, like, but goofy kind of character on that show. So I don't know. I've always kind of saw a similarity. And I know Bradley Cooper's now transitioned to becoming, you know, like a superstar leading man type thing, but maybe Ritter could have done it too.
You know, if I could bring it to a musical level, you're talking to, you know, I'm dedicated to this show. Three's Company is my favorite show. You comparing John Ritter to Bradley Cooper is like you comparing The Edge to Jimi Hendrix for me. There's no way that's I disagree.
but in their respective eras. You know, I'm not saying they're of the same. You know, obviously, I prefer Jimi Hendrix's music much more. But both, I would say, are defining iconic guitar heroes of their era, and I would say that both these guys, you know, are goofy, charismatic dudes of their era.
Yeah,
but one has stardom.
Yeah, no, I agree. Bradley Cooper is a great actor to watch on screen, and it's not as if I'm not a fan, but I'm an uber super fan of John Ritter. So,
has John Ritter ever worn fake dreadlocks?
No.
Bradley Cooper has in that movie where he's a bike courier that gets on the drug that makes him super.
Oh, the Achilles heel, the fake dreadlocks. Oh, John was just one part away from doing that.
One part away. I heard he was up for the role in True Romance of that pimp.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding. That would be amazing, though.
I knew this episode would sidetrack into some. I just didn't know we would end up talking about The Edge and Bradley Cooper. But I should make mention that Michael Bell, the instructor, the dance instructor, it's his second appearance on the show. He appeared on season 3, Chrissy and the Gru, another legendary episode as Rama Magish, a Krishna leader. Who's also kind of a sleazy scumbag kind of guy who comes off like he's, you know, this nice guy, but he's actually a scumbag too. So I don't know. I guess the producers or the writers or the director, whoever was in charge of the casting of it, always saw Michael Bell as kind of a sleazy actor guy.
His face looked like a California raisin. You know, like he was so, when he would like wrinkle up his face, it would get so wrinkly. It was amazing.
Now, I don't know if you noticed, but his voice was always familiar to me. And he was the voiceover for Zan, who was half of the Wonder Twins from the Super Friends cartoons. And he's still working today and still active in the voiceover world of cartoons.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I had no idea.
Yeah, Transformers and Smurfs and Superman, Incredible Hulk. And for me, it was Super Friends are my favorite cartoon. And he did Zan. Like from Zan and Jaina, the Wonder Twins. Yeah.
Yeah, like but that voice, I don't know. Like his voice sounded so different to Zan's voice from what I remember. I guess I got to go on YouTube and watch some Super Friends episodes.
Yeah, do it. And you'll hear Michael Bell. It's undeniable.
Did you watch that TV show, Young Justice?
Maybe. Is it the Teen Titans?
The DC Teen cartoon?
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes of that.
Get invested. Like, go the whole way. Start from the beginning and watch. Because it is like the Game of Thrones of children's, I guess not even children at this point, but animation.
I will. If you're comparing it to that, then I have to go in.
There are some cool, and it's definitely dark, and there's a lot of maybe for adult viewing first, because I watched it with the kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm showing them Gone Lambs. With the Wind or something.
Right, right. Well, overall, Damien, did you like some of that jazz?
I like this episode a lot. Like, I found it very interesting. Like, as I say, I'm kind of fascinated by these serious toned episodes of otherwise comedic shows. So, yeah, it was a very interesting episode to get to talk about of the show.
Well, listen, come back next week. You can't just be here for one episode. You got to come back next week. Let's keep talking about Three's Company.
Absolutely.